The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the ESPN FC studios ahead of big game in Italy. It's Roma against Napoli live here on ESPN Plus at 3:45. I'm joined in the studio by Shaq Airslop, and then take a look at this for a lineup. Jurgen Klinsmann with us, as is Alessandro Del Piero and Gab Marcotti as well, to look ahead to this big game. Of course, a crucial tie when it comes to these sides' hopes of qualifying for the Champions League. Atalanta's win earlier today means that there are 5 points that separate them and Napoli and Roma. Ale, I want to start with you. Obviously a huge game, top four very much at stake in this tie.
Yes, hi, ciao everyone. I mean, I'm happy to be here with you, to your fabulous guests. It's a very big game for both teams. Two different, completely different situations. Roma coming from an amazing overturn in the Europa League, and Napoli is still struggling. But both of them, they are looking for a seat on the Champions League. So it will be very, very interesting to see what's going on today.
Jurgen, Napoli have been unpredictable, of course, this season, but you do feel they've just turned a corner slightly. 3 wins in the last 4 domestically, including, of course, last week, that victory against Milan.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, if you look at Napoli over the years, it's probably one of the most difficult places for any type of a manager to survive there. So what Gattuso is doing there, the way he survives, the way he gets along with all the little problems in-house and outside of the club is quite amazing. You know, if they win this game today, they go 2 clears. Closer to a Champions League spot. It's a real big one for both clubs, a real big game today.
It's fascinating, isn't it, Gab? All of the subplots going into this tie.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, and there's obviously subplots on both sides, because some people were calling unjustly, in my opinion, for Paulo Fonseca's head not that long ago. Obviously, they got that big result in the Europa League. This is a talented team. They can take points off people. They've shown it. Napoli, on the other hand, as Jurgen said, it can be really, really tough for managers there, especially with De Laurentiis. But I think what happens a little bit is, because of the rough patch they had, and I think we've seen this, in some ways, the pressure's off a little bit. I don't think Gattuso is counting on necessarily being there next year. I think a number of the players aren't. They're saying, you know what? Let's go and prove him wrong. Let's go, and if we go out, let's go out here with a bang. And it's not entirely dissimilar to what happened when Ancelotti was let go and Gattuso took over. The team finished the season strongly.
Ale, of course, Gattuso, someone you know very well, your rival back in your domestic days, your teammate at international level. Are you surprised that he went into management?
Yeah. No, I'm not surprised. He's a guy that when he has something in mind, he's really, really focused and smart. He's the attitude to approach what he's going to do is very strong, and you know, his knowledge is very high.
Just give us a little bit of insight what he's like off the pitch, because of course we know his persona on it, Ali, and on the sideline as well. Is he kind of that ball of anger all the time?
You're talking about Gattuso, right?
Yeah.
You're talking about him. Listen, Rino is an amazing soul, first of all. He's so generous, so respectful of everyone. But in the meantime, very, very strong. He's a guy that this year, he went through also personal problems. Mm. He stayed with the team, and the team loves him. Fully loves him, and this is one of the key why, in as Jurgen said before, one of the key why Napoli is still there, because the problem inside the team with the club, maybe replace him, came up already 2 months ago, And in this situation, with a lot of rumors around you, with a lot of critics, especially in the moment where you were fighting to go in an important match on the Europa League, important match with the Coppa Italia against Atalanta, that is a crucial moment. Everything happened, and yeah, not everything went in the way that he likes, but he stayed there. And the way that the players celebrate victories or goals with him is unique. And this is the value of the guy. And this is something that I'm really focused on, because this is a game changer in every team. In this moment that you need to find unity and to bring out from your team and your players the maximum that you can, this is priceless. That's why I love the guy. Also because other reason, but this is a technical reason.
Jürgen, it is testament, isn't it, to the way in which he's got players on board. As Ali mentioned, you can see it with every celebration.
Yeah, I mean, he lives the game nonstop. You know, he's on the sideline. He just wants to be of help, because that was his role. He was a classic number six. He was somebody that cleaned up every little hole in the midfield. He was always there for his teammates as a player, and you can see that as a coach as well. He just wants to be with them. He just sometimes I think he could really needs to get hold back, because he wants to run on the field and cleans it up himself and helps out. But this is in his nature, and when players know that, when they feel that this coach is there for us, this coach is suffering certain things, you know, they read the papers too, and they read the comments from whoever as well. So when they see that this coach is going through fire for us, then they want to play for him. And that's what Napoli is still doing. They still have everything to play for in this season. And if we win today, definitely that could make a big, big difference.
So then all of that leads us to ask, Gab, why is the general consensus that he won't be there at the start of next season?
I mean, same reason that, Ancelotti eventually, that the consensus around him grew until he was fired. I think De Laurentiis can be, he does certain things, he's done very, very well as a president. Other times he can be spiky, he can be difficult. I think Gattuso, in my opinion anyway, this is a pretty humble guy. He doesn't think he's God's gift to football. He's taken on a lot of the responsibility. From De Laurentiis' perspective, he said, look, I spent all this money on Osimhen. We have a squad which, you know, is, other than Juve perhaps, the best in Serie A, or maybe just after Inter. And we should be fighting for the title. We shouldn't be getting eliminated by Granada. These are all things I don't like, and maybe Gattuso can only take us to a certain level. That's his viewpoint. And, you know, he looks at this, and I think in his mind, because De Laurentiis, like a lot of Italian club presidents, is generally surrounded by yes men. Mm. When he puts pressure on Gattuso and the team responds by going on a good run, as they've done recently, I don't think it's going to stop De Laurentiis from putting pressure. He's going to see like, oh, look, you know, I motivated them by some of these rumors that are out there about Gattuso. So, and also the other thing is Gattuso's not expensive to fire, because he doesn't have a big long-term contract. So were he to be let go at the end of the season, it wouldn't cost Napoli very much.
Ali, why are you laughing at Gab?
No, when he say that De Laurenti will keep going to push pressure and put pressure. Yeah, he's right. He's right. I mean, we don't have to remember to forget that Napoli in the past year has coaches like Ancelotti that won everything, Benitez that has won everything, and even Sarri that brings, you know, him to Chelsea and to Juve in a certain way and expressed the best soccer that we saw in Italy in the past 5-6 years. So imagine with Gattuso that he doesn't have that history of these guys. And that is true. That's why I was laughing, that it's a very weird situation. And what he's doing now, Napoli and Gattuso, is absolutely amazing from my point of view.
Meanwhile, Ali, you mentioned, of course, a big result for Roma midweek, booking a place in the next round of the Europa League, defeating Shakhtar. Mentally, how does that affect a player going from such a big result midweek in Europe to now such a big game against Napoli in the league?
Well, it will be challenging on the conditional and physical side, because Roma is a it's right that he's played very well. Every player is looking, you know, to occupy the space and play together and move the ball fast. But in this kind of football, especially in Europe, you need to be very good in conditional stuff. And, you know, play back-to-back this game was only till now one of the problems of Roma, you know. But it's proud of Italy now, Roma, because it's the only team that play as Italian team in the European competition. We need to give them a lot of respect, first of all. And now they have a big chance also in the league because they play at home. So they need to bring this energy and keep going with that energy, you know? And hoping also from some goals from Dzeko.
We'll focus on this game a little more as kickoff approaches, but let's just take you through what else happened today. Game just finished, Fiorentina against Milan, and what a big result it turned out to be for the visitors. 9 minutes in, Zlatan Ibrahimovic would make it 1-0.
And you see Zlatan with a little bump into the back of the defender to create some separation right here. Then he's just kept onside by the right back, and once in space, Zlatan comfortable with the finish.
However, 8 minutes later, we'll go with a free kick to make it 1-1.
And what a free kick this is. Mauro Pogar. This is a long way out, tight angle.
But Donnarumma have done better there, Shane?
No. That's just a good free kick.
All right, don't get all defensive.
I'm getting angry.
10 minutes later, Pizzella. What an effort that is.
Yeah, it's a really good header from near post area. Oh, a flick, excuse me, and Donovan again, comfortably beaten. Happy to see the crossbar come to his rescue.
Then what about this from Zlatan? Little dink. Oh, can't get it under the crossbar.
Yeah, once he again holds this defender off and is one of them all the goalkeeper, I expected him to find the back of the net.
6 minutes into the second half, though, Fiorentina take the lead. Frank Ribery turning back the clock.
This is a really nice finish. Ribery arriving late.
Good celebration.
Oh yeah, I'm not sure about the dance. Vlahovic does really well in holding it up and teeing up Ribery.
6 minutes later though, Milan with the equaliser, Brahim Diaz.
Right place, right time. This is a clever little header to pick him on. I'm not sure how much of it is intended, but he reacts very well, Diaz.
And then pressure on Fiorentina. They give away possession and Milan capitalise on it. Tanoglu with the goal to make it 3-2.
And just as Fiorentina think that they're on the counter-attack, Milan win the ball back, force to Tanoglu, and this is a really nice finish. Franchesi teeing him up, and that is inches inside the far post.
So it finishes then at Fiorentina 2, AC Milan 3. A huge result for Milan to keep the pressure on Inter at the top of the table. Ali, we've seen this before, haven't we, from Milan this season. They've shown a lot of character.
Oh, yeah. And not only that. I mean, they show a lot of energy on the pitch. All the time that they lost a game, they come back with a win. And this means, you know, a lot in terms of energy inside the team and in terms of unity inside the team. I was remember when already 4 months ago, Maldini was speaking with the press and say, listen, guys, there is something in this team before everything happened. Mm. So if the guy like him, you know, the confirmation of Pioli on the bench, confirmation of Ibrahimovic, they build something really, and we can see that it's the result speak for them, and this is something really really good from my point of view. The goals still the Champions League spot for the next year, also that they have a lot of regrets about what happened in the Europa League last week.
Jürgen, I know you mentioned before that you managed to drag your way from the Florida sun for a moment to focus on this game. And Milan, we were talking before, and we've talked about it over the weeks, haven't we? Top four is their priority, given the gap between them and Inter. And this is a huge result in that regard.
It is a huge result and a very, very important result, and especially the way they turned the game around. And I mean, when Ribéry scored the 2-1, I thought, you know, ooh, that looks really, really ugly now for AC Milan. But they found a way to get back, to equalize it, and then it's a beautiful goal from Calhanoglu to make it 3-2 and to keep them 6 points now behind Inter Milan. So there's still a little bit of a race going on. Even obviously it's Inter now the big favorite. Both are out of Europe, and so it will be interesting. It's still 11 games I think left in the Serie A, so still a way to go. And thankfully they keep it a little bit more tense.
Elsewhere today, the big story has to be this: Juventus taking on Benevento. Not the fact that Cristiano Ronaldo got a GOAT t-shirt before celebrating the fact that he got 770 goals, surpassing the career record of Pele. 3 minutes in, Ronaldo with the opportunity puts it wide of the post.
Does really well to sidestep the attention of the defender, drags that inches wide.
8 minutes to go before the break, Alvaro Morata with a chance, puts it over the bar.
Yeah, comes at him quickly, defender closing him down. Expected better from Morata here. Once the keeper makes his save, you've got to hit the target there.
But then this is it. This is the big moment of the game. Arthur with the ball, gives it away. And from then on, Benevento, make it 1-0.
Yeah, it's really poor from Arthur here. Why he doesn't go back to the goalkeeper, I'm not sure. Gaich anticipates the ball, intercepts well, and then nobody from Juventus gets close enough, cuts him back against the green, finds the bottom corner. You see the reaction of Arthur.
So moments later, Chiesa with the opportunity to play the ball in, instead goes down. You can see the player slips and he just kind of leaves his leg in to try and win the penalty here.
Yeah, listen, this is one that I think quite easily could have been interpreted differently. Could have been given. I have no problem with it. No.
You think it's a penalty, Shane?
I think it very well could have been given, yes. I think the defender knows what he's doing.
Well, he fell over.
But he throws his body in Chiesa's path.
Cristiano Ronaldo with the opportunity. Puts it wide. Danilo with the opportunity to get the late equaliser. He can't find the target. Huge story then. Benevento, who have been struggling of late, no wins in 11 going into this tie. They would take, though, all 3 points from Turin. You can see what that means to Inzaghi on the sidelines. Benevento taking all 3 points. Right, Ali, let's just start with you. Xhaka thinks that could have been a penalty. Your thoughts?
With the new rules, yes.
Yeah.
With all the new all the rules, no. It's simple.
Let's go to someone who never played for Juventus, Jurgen Klinsmann. Is that a penalty or no?
Well, I mean, you can give absolutely a penalty for that incident. Even if he kind of looks for it and he kind of tangles himself into the body from the opponent, I have no problems if it's a penalty.
Gabby kicked him on the floor.
I mean, look, the fact that it's intent doesn't come into it, right? If you're being clumsy, it's not an excuse. For me, it's not a penalty, but I think what was surprising was that, you know, I think it is something that you take a long, hard look at VAR. Instead, the referee, Abiso, seemed like he made his mind up straight away. You can also make the point to Chiesa, says like, hey, young man, next time, instead of looking for the penalty every time, why don't you put the ball into the box and try to score? And I think that's something that, that's an area where maybe he can improve in.
Right then, let's get down to the bones of it then, Ali. What's wrong with Juventus at the moment?
Well, apparently a lot of things is wrong. What happened today, the mistake by Arthur is not what you need to be focused on, but it's a fact. Like, it's a fact that it happened in the Champions League with Bentancur against Porto. So this lack of, I don't know how to call them. I mean, the concentration, lucidity, clear in your mind what you have to do, how you have to deal with kind of stuff. It's worrying. And the result is worrying. I spoke a lot about unity, right? About Napoli or Roma, and you will hear me a lot talking about that, because in order to win, you need to have something more than the other ones. And because when you build a team, and Jurgen maybe knows better than me, you know, you need to have a lot of different situation, players, club, coaching, conditioners, talent, you know, a mix of everything. You need to put all together at the same time. That's where you come unity. Also, something that came in your mind. What happened in Juve now is a lot of confusion. And it doesn't look, when you see them play, they doesn't look together in what they're doing. And everybody are putting a maximum effort because this is what Juve push you to do it. But with a lot of disconnection. And you can't lose a game like today. Playing, we saw our highlights, but the game was very poor. And Benevento didn't win from 3 months, never win outside home. It's they already drew in the Benevento home. It's kind of, I want to use the weird word, but it's something more, unfortunately, for Juve.
So there's a lot of people that have got different opinions, Ali, about what's going wrong. So let's address some of them. Antonio Cassano coming out, of course, last week and saying that Cristiano Ronaldo is fundamentally the problem.
No, Cristiano Ronaldo, you can't see Cristiano Ronaldo as a problem. You embrace him 3 years ago, so you go with him. He's one of the probably the best player in the world with Messi and a couple of more guys that are doing quite well now, Mbappe and Haaland, for example, or Neymar. But is a great guy. He's a guy that scores every game. This is why they brought Ronaldo to scoring every game to bring them to the Champions League. Unfortunately, the Champions League is the situation where Juve is the worst, actually. You know, they came out in the quarterfinals once and the round of 16 the other 2 years. So it's very poor result in that. But you need to build a team for him. So that's one of the keys. Juve is winning for 9 years in a row. It's also to keep that level of concentration and energy on top. It's very, very tough. And beside of that, it's new challenge on the bench. Because what happened the past 3 years, you know, you went from Allegri, you changed completely the idea of football with Sarri 1 year, and then again, you change again with a guy that is an amazing guy, is my teammates, and I love him, of course, but it's a new on the job. So with other challenges, okay, that this club is very strong, but all this stuff together at this moment doesn't work that well. And they need to watch also, you know, in terms of the race for the Serie A title, because they have to keep going, but they need to watch also to have a look what happened behind them, because Atalanta now without the Champions League, we run very, very fast. So they left one spot for the Champions League for next year. That will be a game changer for the club if it doesn't happen.
And then, Ali, of course, you have critics of Pirlo as saying, well, here's someone they brought in who's got no experience of coaching, and clearly he's out of his depth. If it wasn't for his name and his connection with the club, he would be sacked.
Well, Juve decide to move with Pirlo this summer for a project, and we see a lot of projects keep going after unsuccessful seasons, and we see also a lot of projects cut as soon as one problem came up. One big problem came up. What happened with him, they are giving him a lot of support because they ask him to do a work that is not, you know, all of a sudden, you know, from nothing to head coach. So it's just, you need a lot of support in that. So what is going on now is a fully support what's happened with him and also for the next year. But again, I think a big reflection we will have when we see if they get on the Champions League spot or not.
Jurgen, this is something we've discussed before, and I know something that you've been steadfast in saying that he does need time.
Absolutely, Andrea Pirlo needs time. And I think it's really, really important when, especially when things go a little bit wrong, and obviously losing in the round of 16 in the Champions League is it's a huge bummer for a club like Juventus. There's no doubt about it. Now being a bit too far away from Inter in the championship itself, Serie A, is a problem. But he won a Supercoppa already, and he's in the final of the Coppa Italia. So theoretically, practically, he could win two trophies this year for Juventus. No, and it's his year number one as an inexperienced head coach, and every day he will learn. Every day he makes new experiences. He learns about leadership. He learns about connectivity to the directors of the club, the media work. You know, how do I run my medical staff? How do I run my the marketing side? You know, how does that function? There's so many elements that surround the manager today that it's a huge learning curve. And I'm sure that he's going to learn all those individual pieces, and they have to back him. I mean, they went the direction. His overall idea to make Juventus more attractive, to play more attacking style football, you know, high pressure game down the road, you know, with one piece added to another, it takes time. It will take time. So I hope really that they stick with him and he gets the chance to prove that.
Let's just remind you how things stand after that defeat. Juventus sitting in third, level on points with Atalanta. Of course, our feature game coming up in just under 20 minutes' time, Napoli against Roma. They could close the gap on fourth. Ali, just going back to what you said before, are you seriously questioning whether or not Juventus, they might slip out of the top four and miss out on Champions League next season?
Well, there is a possibility. I mean, for what we saw till now, they have all the quality to win the league, but you know, sometimes you play some season that you get a lot of problems at the same time, and you don't find what is the solution shortly. So shortly they will have a derby against Torino when they come back. Torino doesn't win the derby, maybe 12 years. You know, that kind of dynamics that, you know, if, what happened if it's that year that's going to win that game? And they need to recover one game against Napoli. But Napoli is running quite well, and they run for the fourth spot on the Champions League as well. So that kind of motivation sometimes brings you to play hard, harder than what you think, or to make you feel, well, I have to be worried about something. So let's see how the team, Pirlo, the players, and the club react on that. But they need to have a look, seriously, from my point of view.
Ali, you mentioned before Juventus, of course, out of the Champions League. We saw Inter fail to make it through the group stages. This week, Lazio knocked out by Bayern, Atalanta by Real Madrid. Once again, no Italian representatives in the quarterfinals. Fabio Capello, speaking about this, said that the lack of intensity in the Italian league and it's just too slow a style of football overall is affecting them in Europe. Do you agree?
Yes, I agree. We spoke with Coach Capello many times during the past year about that. The only team that have that kind of energy run, and it's Atalanta that, by the way, when you play against Real Madrid, everything can happen, I'm sorry. But this is the way that now football is run in Europe. And Juve, Lazio, they are quite amazing in the Italian league. But when happens something that when you're facing teams that are really well performing in every section, you got in trouble. I mean, Porto against Juve play really, really hard in terms of 10 against 11. They have a chance to go. They score a goal. And that is something that you need to reflect on that. And in Italy, we're going through an era where we also lose a little bit of our identity, right? We were famous for the way that we defend, for example. And now our team concede a lot of goals, including Juve. Easy goals, something that didn't happen before. So this mix of situation, we need to find our identity first and then focus on talent, because we are missing talent as well. And this is a big question mark that we already discussed in Italy many times already, many years, beside of what happened with the national team that, you know, we missed the World Cup. Mm. and then after all of a sudden we finish in the final of the Europe. But it's something is missing for sure.
Isn't it just cyclical, Gab? Don't we just see this with some leagues? So they have like all representatives in the semi-final, and then you can fast forward a couple more years and then no one's there. Isn't this just the way it works?
It is, well, but it doesn't mean that it's not true. I mean, look, we...
Go on,
sorry,
Gab.
Alec. No, I was just saying...
Go ahead. I was thinking, let's bring that question... So,
right, Gab, shut up. Go on, Ali.
No, I was thinking, let's ask to Jurgen, actually, because four teams on eight in the quarterfinals in the Champions League are Deutschland coaches. They have German coaches. So that's amazing.
I'm the host, Ali. I ask the questions. But go on, Jürgen.
Well, I think it's a super interesting discussion because obviously, as Alessandro said, it's a cultural element. You know, Italian football was known throughout the decades and the history for their defensive style, for reacting to their opponents and waiting until you as an opponent, you make a mistake and then they're going to kill you. The way the game developed over the last 5 to 10 years, it developed into a very fast-paced, very physical, high-intensity approach. High pressure becomes more and more common. The only team, as Alice said, rightfully, is Atalanta in Italy that plays this high-pressure system. But it's very demanding, physically very demanding. It takes years. It takes years to implement that style of play with a team. And this is actually what Andrea Pirlo wants to develop at Juventus. He said that this is what he wishes to achieve at one point. But that transition basically takes really time. And so it's something that, you know, is not established in Italian culture to make those changes one step at a time, meanwhile having success, obviously, because teams want to win, is very, very difficult for an Italian approach. And the Italian approach is always known, most importantly, not to lose. You know? And then if we can go forward and win this game, we're going to win this game. We're going to kill it off at one point in time, maybe between minutes 70 and 90. So it will be interesting now to see how these big teams in Italy approach this entire kind of global transition into this fast-paced, you know, very fast transition type of style. But they have to. They have no other choice. They have to do that in order to come back and be successful, you know, obviously in Europe, in the Champions League or Europa League, but also with their national team, which is a very, very talented national team with Italy and Roberto Mancini as their coach.
Everything you're saying, Ali and Jürgen, Ali, it makes sense. But from a fan's point of view, you want victory now. Patience isn't something that you would normally associate with supporters of any big club.
Yes, it's the win is a key for every team actually now, and especially for a country like Italy that is very passionate about that. So we saw as Filippo Inzaghi with Benevento celebrate a win against Juve, you know, like he won the World Cup again. So it's this is the spirit of the game that we are playing, and this is constantly what is on the plate, we say, when you build a team. How long do you have talking about time in order to succeed? How long does it take to that level? How long does it take to Pirlo to bring that team to win again? Because the key for Juventus, yes, Coppa Italia is important, even the Super Cup, but the Serie A league title and the Champions League are much, much more.
Oh, Gab wants in again. Gab, what do you want now?
May I? No. Look, I completely agree with what Jürgen's saying. I mean, I think I know how this change of mentality has to happen. I think that change is already happening, right? Atalanta, Sassuolo, Verona, Juve want to play that way. Milan, I think, have been playing that way. Anybody who watched their first leg against United away will know what I'm talking about. The problem is that there is so much pressure on people to perform at the same time. You remember that stretch that Juve had a couple months ago when all of a sudden when Chiellini was fit and he and Bonucci decided that they were going to sit deeper and they were going to be tighter and they got a couple good results. And everybody's saying, oh, look, you know, he's being reasonable. No, he's not. He's being silly. He's playing the old way of playing, which in Europe doesn't work anymore because the game has changed. And I agree with what I think Ali made a great point about, you know, not conceding goals. Well, Manchester City, arguably the best team in the world right now, look at their defensive record. They don't concede goals. And yet, somehow, they magically manage to defend high up the pitch and win nearly every game. So, you know, it can be done. It's just you're not going to do it by sitting deep, by playing slow, by waiting for your superstar to create something out of nothing. And I think that's the transition that clubs are trying to make, but it takes time.
Ali?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I was bringing as a Manchester City as an example. You anticipate me as a great defender, but it's the point. And what happened with Guardiola is also something that we need to reflect, because a lot of coaches takes Guardiola as a god in the past 20 years after what he did with Barcelona, right? So, but during these years, Guardiola changed and adapt his game and bring his game on another level. Now, Manchester City is not a team that play like Barcelona with a lot of possession of the ball. They go much more straightforward if they have the possibility. And on the meantime, they keep the defense and the goal really, really safe.
Let's just touch on what else happened today. We mentioned a good win for Atalanta to solidify their place in fourth in the table away against Verona. 30 minutes on the clock. DiMarco here with a handball.
The referee right on spot. Does not hesitate in making the call, and I think it's the right one. Marco goes up, arm on the shoulder. He's inviting the trouble. And Atalanta take full advantage.
And Malinovsky with the penalty to make it 1-0. 3 minutes before the break, it's 2-0. Zapata.
Really nice finish. Has to show some strength. Sees the keeper advancing. Knows all he has to do is get it beyond it. Does so. Trickles into the back of the net.
So, good win for them. After disappointing midweek in the Champions League. Lazio, of course, also eliminated from the Champions League this week. They would, though, bounce back, certainly domestically. 1-0 victory over Udinese. This is the only goal of the game.
Yeah, and what a finish it is by Marisic, who somehow finds himself in acres of room out on this left-hand side. Goes back into traffic, but finds a wonderful finish.
So it finishes Udinese 0, Lazio 1. What that means? Well, Lazio remain 7th. Atalanta, as I mentioned, 4th in the table. This, of course, the last round of matches before we take a break for World Cup qualifiers. 3 Italian games all on our air on Thursday. They're taking on Northern Ireland. And then March 28th is Bulgaria. Finally, March 31st. I'm excited about Italy. All these matches available on ESPN Plus. Well, just under 10 minutes to go then until Roma take on Napoli here on Plus. Roma, of course, without Mkhitaryan for this game. Gav, who's been so key to their success this season?
He has. The good news is Dzeko's back. And obviously it's going to be about how the pieces around him fit. I think, well, if I can give you one guy to watch out for, who I think is having a monster season, it's in the middle of the park. Jordan Veretout has really come together, and I think he's pretty critical if Roma are going to take the game to Napoli.
Ali, what do you make of Roma's lineup going into this game?
The quality of the place that they can put together, and the energy on the field. I mean, how the two teams face each other, it will be very, very important, because both teams want to dominate the game in terms of possession. And both teams create opportunities through that. So that's, it's very interesting how and who's going to win that battle.
We talked a lot about Gattuso, Gab. You mentioned Fonseca as well. Has he silenced his critics somewhat of late?
I like to think so, because I think any rational person who takes a step back and looks at, you know, what he's had to face with the change in director of football, the change in ownership, the whole thing with Dzeko, where Dzeko was going to leave, then falling out with Dzeko, then taking away the captain's armband, then the Muppet directors who registered players incorrectly, not once, but twice, and the six substitutions in the Coppa Italia game. All that stuff just hanging over him. Mm. Plus, of course, the biggest one of all, maybe the injury to Zaniolo, perhaps, you know, the greatest Italian talent we have in Serie A, missing the whole season. I mean, that is a lot to take on board. And to still be here, to still be alive in the Europa League, just to still be in a legitimate Champions League run in those circumstances, while also playing very attractive, effective football, very modern football, I think, to me, makes Fonseca be a standout. I think it's madness to question him.
Ali, do you agree?
100%. I couldn't say better. Also, with my amazing English, I couldn't say better than what did you just say. Yeah, he took the right points, and there's a lot. I think Fonseca deserves an Oscar for that. Because by far, with all the what he was facing, it's the way that they came out was amazing, truly amazing. Fully support from my side.
But Napoli, Gab, we take a look at their starting 11. Is it one that has helped them turn a corner of late?
I think it's a little bit of a more familiar one. I mean, you know, at the start of the season, I was fully on the Victor Osimhen bandwagon. I got super excited. Then, obviously, he had his physical injuries and he had COVID and whatever, and it was kind of stop-start. But I think right now, you know, with Mertens up front, it's more of a quicker, more I don't say quicker because Osimhen's incredibly fast, but it's a front three that know each other, they know each other well, especially the axis with Zielinski, Mertens, and Insigne. And that's very comforting, I think. And, you know, knowing that you can turn to a game changer like Osimhen off the bench is a big, big bonus.
Let's take a look then at how the bookies have this game set. Of course, a huge match for two teams vying for a place in the Champions League next season. It's tight, isn't it? Roma, slight favourites at 8-5. Napoli at 9-5. Draw, meanwhile, 12-5. Jürgen, how do you see this game going?
Well, I think it's going to be a super interesting game, hopefully a very intense one, fast-paced one, and a couple of goals, but I could see it end up in a tie.
A draw for Jürgen. Ali, who are you going for?
I hope a tie, because both teams, they deserve to move on, and it will be more interesting even for Juve Atalanta, the run for the Champions League.
Oh, good. Gab?
I guess I'm not allowed to, contractually, I'm not allowed to also sit on the fence, so I'm going to go for a 3-2 Roma win. Lots Ooh. Of goals.
Why, Gab?
Why? Because I think Edin Dzeko poses matchup problems. All indication is that he's fit and they can get him the ball. And I'm curious to see also what Roma can do in wide areas, whether it's Carzo or Spinazzola. Those overloads, they can get on the ball.
You go to Napoli, I mean.
I guess I have to contractually, given that Gab was for Roma. But for Napoli, who haven't fared that well on the road, but then all of a sudden, for the second road game in a row, they get a team coming back from Europa League action. Mm-hmm. And I think that's telling. As happened with AC Milan, I'm going to go Napoli narrowly 1-0.
Stuff, guys. Thank you very much. We'll, of course, be back here at halftime, reflect on the opening at 45 minutes. But for now, let's head to Rome. Your commentators, Dave Farrar and Stuart Robson.